Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story to us and share it. Or, of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or, as many have been doing, emailing us the stories once they record the audio on their mobile device. You just, you know, whatever recording app you want, M4A, MP3, whatever you want to send it in, as long as it's not insanely large, you can email it over to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And that's another way to get your story on the air. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
And we got open lines today, lots of calls. We got a lot of them kind of backed up for the past couple of weeks when we've been in our moving process. So we're weeding our way through that. And of course, here are stories that have been emailed in as well. And we'll get back into the normal swing of the show with calls and letters and all that stuff in the as the weeks go on and as we get caught back up. And we're excited to hear all of your stories. I got the chance to go through the haunted house yesterday at Silver Dollar City down the road here from us. So kind of exploring some new things in our area. Not all that spooky, but not expected to be, really. It's kind of more fun housey.
Sure.
But it was interesting, creepy vibe to it. I was trying to see if there was any stories of ghosts actually at the park itself. And I Googled and I saw some. I didn't click on any links, so that's my next thing, is to see if there's anything to that.
I wonder, because underneath that entire park is caves.
Yeah.
Literally, there's caves, and you can, you know, tour the caves through the park.
Sure.
But it makes you wonder, because I know sometimes when you have, you know, like almost like old mine shafts or caves or any kind of unusual formations underground, that can kind of mess things up.
Well, I was talking the other day on the show. I was wondering, in this new area that we're living in here, in case you're just joining us, so we're in the Branson and Springfield, Missouri area. You know, why we have over the years gotten so many ghost stories from this particular area of the country, because it has been. There's been kind of, there's like little hotbeds around the country where there just seems to be a lot of stories that come out of, and there seems to be a lot around here. And I was just thinking, there's a ton of limestone like underneath everything.
Yeah.
And that's always something we've talked about, is, you know, that being a somewhat of a stone that seems to hold energy and then replay energy. And I'm wondering if that has anything to do with that phenomenon at all, you know?
Well, that, and coupled with the fact that this area has quite a bit of history.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a turbulent history.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, combined, you're going to get some good stories.
You got a lot of interesting stuff around here, especially in the, when we were there the other day, we went to one of these, the rides, and the whole theme of it was the Bald Knobbers. and the fighting that was going on. And the scenes were just of utter chaos and destruction and death.
Yeah.
And this is a children's ride. And I'm just like, well, that's interesting. I mean, it's historical. It's interesting. I can explain it to our 9-year-old. The 3-year-old probably going to be a little bit confused when we go through that one.
Right.
It's like,
she
what is that?
Need to see that.
They're having a campfire, honey. That's all that's going on. I don't know how to, you know, how do you explain some of that history to a 3-year-old? But for the 9-year-old, it was a learning experience, I guess,
sure,
so to speak. Let's go to our first caller, Roxy. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Roxy. I'm from the Houston area, and I have a story to tell you today. I actually have quite a few stories, but I'll just limit it to one today. I was born HIV positive, and I lost my parents to AIDS complications when I was a small child. So I don't know if that, like, all that trauma when I was little, like, opened me up to having spiritual experiences or what. But yeah, the story I'm going to tell you today is not especially spooky. It's actually kind of heartwarming, I would say, I guess, and a little sad. But yeah, it happened to me today, actually, so that's why it's on my mind. But yeah, I guess just get to the meat of the story here. When growing up, I had a best friend, and her best friend and my brother, her brother and my brother were also best friends. They were the same age, and we were the same age, so we got along perfectly. It was like this perfect, happy little family. But her brother was born with a rare heart defect, so or heart disease, I'm sorry. So he had 2 heart transplants in his life, and when he was 23 years old, he died shortly after his second heart transplant. So it was absolutely awful, and his life was just cut short, and it was terrible. So that was about 5 years ago, and it rocked everybody's world, and it was just terrible. And my friend still has not gotten over it, as you can imagine. It's just horrible. And my friend and I are still, she'll always be my best friend, but as you know, you grow, I'm 31 now, and as you grow up, I'm sure you know, you kind of just, life gets in the way, and you know, she's married, she has kids, you kind of don't talk as much as you used to, and things kind of get in the way, and it sucks. So yeah, we don't talk as much as we used to. It's just kind of shitty. So yeah, but, about 3 weeks ago, I had a dream, in which her brother came to me, and I was at an old family house. My family doesn't live there anymore. And there was a whole huge group of people there. It was like all of my family, all of my in-laws, just tons of people. And her brother came in, and it was like all of my focus just went to him. Like there was nobody else there anymore. And he was wearing all white. And in life, her brother was absolutely hilarious. He was the funniest person I've ever known in my entire life. He was really loud, and he had the worst potty mouth in the world. And he was just, you could not meet her brother and not love him. I mean, he was just absolutely hilarious. But in this dream, he was so calm and just nothing like he was in life. And when he moved, it was like so fluid and graceful and slow and like calm. It was surreal. And when he came in, I was like, oh my God, what are you doing here? You're dead. And he said, yeah, I know I'm dead. Which is kind of funny thinking on it, but in the dream I was just like, what? And I said, well, what is it like to be dead? And he was like, it's cool, you know, it's fine, it's great. And he was like, I'm happy, I'm good, don't worry about me, everything's fine. And I said, okay. And he said, I'm here because I'm worried about his sister, my friend, I don't want to say her name. And I said, okay. And he said, you need to talk to her. She's really unhappy. I'm worried about her. Just please talk to her. And I was like, okay, I can do that. And then I eventually woke up, and I thought about this dream every single day for like 3 weeks. And the reason I didn't immediately pick up the phone and call her was, there was like 2 reasons for this. One is because his sister is extremely skeptical. She's like a diehard atheist. I just didn't think she would believe me. I thought she would be like, oh, that's bullshit, like, whatever. And also because I didn't want to hurt her. Like, I thought that it might make her upset, and that, you know, because I knew that she had a hard time after his death. Like, there was, you know, she took care of him through his entire life of being sick, and, you know, it was just, I didn't want to do that to her. So I didn't do it initially. I just kind of sat on it. But I could not stop thinking about it. Like, it was like the first thing I thought about when I woke up, and I thought about it every day for 3 weeks. Like, I just could not stop thinking about it. So finally today I was like, you know what, you need to do it. You need to just do it, because he's telling you something important. So I called her today, and we talked for a good 20 or 30 minutes, and it was fine. Just talking about normal things, you know. And then finally I was like, okay, girl, I gotta tell you something. And I'm not trying to upset you, you know. And you might laugh at me or whatever. So I told her, and before I could even finish, and you have to understand that her personality is, she's blunt, and she's can kind of be cold sometimes. That's just her personality. It's not a bad thing. It's just who she is. But like, she doesn't cry or anything, and she's kind of the person that's usually just like, rub some dirt on it, you know. But before I could even finish, she was bawling. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. This is exactly why I didn't want to tell you. And she was like, no, I'm glad you told me. She said, it makes sense that you've had this dream, because I have not been happy in a long, long time. And she said, I talk to my brother out loud all the time, and it makes sense that you would have this dream. Like, why would you have this dream and me feel this way? Like, you know, he hears me. He hears what I say to him. And then also, like, when he was alive, we used to always say, like, that my brother should have been her brother, and her brother should have been my brother, because our personalities more aligned. And we used to joke about that. And so it makes sense that he would come to me to try to talk to her, even though her and I don't talk as much as we used to anymore. And then she was telling me just like why she's unhappy, you know, the things that are the circumstances of her life. And it was just, you know, it made sense. And, you know, Tony, you talk about how dreams aren't necessarily paranormal unless they can correlate with something in real life. And this one did. So it was just pretty powerful. It was sad, but it was powerful. And I hope that he and I were able to help her today. I hope that I gave the message that he wanted. And yeah, so that's it. And, you know, it's pretty crazy and kind of shook me up a little bit, I guess. But thank you guys for the show. And I am an EPP, and I love the show, and I listen every day, and y'all are amazing, and you make me laugh. So thank you for that. And you spook me. So thank you for that. And you guys rock. And take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the story. And that right there, that's a prime example of where you have a dream that came to you, yet still had groundings in reality.
Yeah, very much. And I kind of wonder, too, how much of maybe an empath component is going on there, too, with having your best friend going through a trying time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it weren't for something of that caliber, that you could easily just write it off. Oh, that was a weird dream, and move on. But mm-hmm. it kind of stuck and lingered, and you kept feeling something was off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really good that you followed through on that.
Sure. And it makes you wonder how much your dead friends and relatives can hear you if you attempt to talk to them. Do they all have the access? Do they all have high-speed ghosternet service to instant message back and forth to the living? Is it kind of like you call them and then they'll be able to? Is it only some that are still hanging around? I don't know.
It's more like a party line.
Is it like a party line?
Yeah.
They just have to make sure that they really know the voices of the people they're hearing.
Yeah.
Although maybe they have like Skype and they can see, make it a lot easier.
That could be weird.
Skype. I wonder if Skype has to be updated like every other day, like it does in the real world,
yeah.
in the dead version. Because it seems like every time I open Skype, which I use on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
Every day, hey, new updates. Really?
And seriously, are you seeing any improvement?
None at all.
Yeah.
Zero. So I was like, why do we have to keep it? There you go. So there you go. 855-853-4802. Anyone who uses Skype totally understands what I'm talking about there. Let's go. That was Roxy, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go over here to our next caller and hear another ghost story.
Hey, you guys. My name is Hillary. I'm from the Pacific Northwest. I just wanted to say that I love your show. I listen to it all the time. I've listened for a couple months, and I've listened to them repeatedly, even though I've heard them a couple times. I just love you guys' personalities, and the stories are really great. One of these days, it'll be EPP, and that'll be really cool. So anyway, I have a couple stories, and I'll start with this one. I have a twin sister, and we're both pretty sensitive. She's a little more sensitive than I am. We feel each other's emotions. Like, we don't have to talk to know how we're feeling. It might just be the twin thing, but she has experienced that in other relationships. So we were in third grade, and my grandpa was kind of sick. He had gotten over cancer, and he wasn't in the best of health, but we weren't necessarily expecting him to pass. And we would go over to his house every Thursday night, or he would come to our house and we'd have dinner together. And Friday night, we went to bed, and my sister woke up in the middle of the night and thought of him and thought that she should pray for him. So she said a quick prayer and went back to sleep. And the next morning, I remember coming out into the family room with our parents and the rest of our family, and I saw them sitting at the table, and it was pretty unexpected, but I just saw them, and I knew, oh my gosh, like, grandma passed away. And they didn't really have to say anything, but, you know, they talked to us and stuff. And then my sister told them that she had woken up in the middle of the night and thought about him. And then my dad got pretty emotional and said that he had passed away in the middle of the night. So that was a pretty cool thing for our family, just knowing that, you know, my sister was thinking about him, and that, I don't know, he just had a little prayer from her before he moved on. So that is that story. And when I was in high school, I had gotten into trouble. I ran away and stuff like that. And so I was out of contact with my family for a couple weeks at a time. And one of these times, I got in a pretty bad car accident. It was, we hit a tree and the car was totaled. I was in the hospital. And I was a couple hours away from my sister, from my family. And my family got contacted because I was in the hospital. And my dad, the same thing happened. My sister woke up in the middle of the night and thought about me and said, oh my gosh, she's hurt. And but then she knew that I was okay, so she went back to sleep. And then the next morning, my dad woke her up and told her to get ready, and she replied with, yeah, I know Hillary's hurt and we have to go see her. And so she knew that I was hurt, but that I'd be okay. And they didn't really have to talk about it. She just knew. And so that story I always remember because it was so cool. Another thing about my sister and I, when we were pretty little, probably about first or second grade, we didn't know this until we talked about it when we were much older. We had the same reoccurring dream, and this is really weird because I can still remember it very vividly, and so can she. We just talked about it with our parents not too long ago, and we're pretty old. We're like in our 30s, so this is just a dream that has stuck with us. And it was, we were in our play area in our home, and my dad had this green John Deere tractor that he played with as a kid, and we played with it. It was one of our favorites, and funny enough, I just saw it yesterday because my nephew plays with it too. So and so my sister and I were playing with that, and it was weird because in my dream I don't remember seeing her, and in her dream she doesn't remember seeing me. It was just all our dreams were individual. So playing with the John Deere tractor, and then we hear our mom saying, come on, we're leaving, let's go. And then, you know, we're stalling, saying, hold on, like, we're playing. And then silence, like, then our mom left. And so I remember, like, sitting and thinking, there's no way she left, and being kind of, like, anxious about it, but then still playing. And then walking around to the other side of the house, going outside. And it was kind of like, it was dark, but the moon was shining so bright that it was like a full moon, so you could see everything. Everything was really lit up. There were no clouds. It was very clear and like bluish. And seeing like a strange, maybe not seeing with my eyes that he was there, but like knowing that he was there and knowing what he looked like in the back of my head, this skeleton looking guy. And he was standing behind me, and my back was feeling tickled. And so I would say, what are you doing? And he would kind of respond, maybe psychically, like, don't worry about it, or like nothing. And so I wasn't really doing anything. I was just kind of thinking, well, this is kind of weird, like my back is tickling and I should be scared, but I'm not. And then looking around and finally seeing it, and seeing that it's like this skeleton man, and he doesn't have any skin on, obviously, because he's a skeleton. And then when I looked back and noticed the tickling was that he was ripping off my skin and it was tickling, and so he was making me a skeleton. And at that point, I woke up, and my sister had the same dream, except she was on the other side of the house. And so we remember talking about that and just being like, maybe we talked about this and somehow decided it was the same dream, or just, I don't know. But I remember my part, and she remembers her part. It's a little bit different. And I can still remember it to this day. Anyway, I have a few others that are really interesting. They're not twin related. But anyway, I love your guys' show. And sorry, no bunk bed stories, but we did have bunk beds. Anyway, talk to you later. Bye.
She said it. I got to ring it.
I know. Thanks for just throwing that in there.
People just randomly throw the word bunk bed into stories. No real context. It was just in the middle of a sentence. So what do you think of the skin being ripped off?
I think that's terrible. And I think the scariest part beyond it just being a nightmare is that both of you had it. And that makes it more than just a nightmare.
There's certainly something to that. It's way more than just, oh, we had a dream. We both had scary nightmares. It was very, very, very specific. Is there a meaning to that? Is it some sort of, I don't know.
Do you think twins have a higher rate of paranormal activity in their lives just because they are already more sensitive?
I could see it being paranormal activity, but not in the sense where that we think of paranormal activity. I think probably more unexplained activity. So, I mean, you know, paranormal, we kind of always talk about ghosts being that. But I think with twins, you have a lot of, you know, what a lot of people look at as like coincidental type things, which is more than coincidence. But unexplained as to why, you know, one is doing this in this part of the country and the other is doing the exact same thing in the other part of the country. And it just happens to be the same time, same day. That's unexplained.
That's more of an empath thing, though.
I don't know what that is. You know, is that empathic? No, but not even thinking of the other one. You know, it's not like, like sometimes you hear a story of, I'm remembering back to old unsolved mystery episodes. There was a lot of twin episodes where it'd be like, and they were separated at birth, and this one went off to do this as a career and the other one did the exact same thing, and they like left their jobs on the same days, and so many just crazy amounts of things that both married a man named this or that, and their husbands look almost exactly alike.
And see, that's a little out there.
I mean, I don't know if that's empathic because you're not necessarily thinking of the other person and it's not done in that vein. That to me is, it's unexplained. It is paranormal because it's not necessarily fitting the normal, not ghostly paranormal, but on somewhere on the scale.
And see, I think maybe it would be empathic if it were more of a toned down version of that, like you guys wear the same color on the same day a lot, you know, and that kind of has to do with your mood. You pick your color kind of based on your mood or whatever. So, but not marrying the same, named person.
Same
and
date,
all
same.
That.
There was all that in those episodes.
Yeah.
It was great. And then we did the interview. It was funny because then they'd wear matching clothes for the interview. Mm-hmm. And it always happened to be like red, white, and blue jogging suits.
Those swishy ones?
Yeah, circa like 1989. Because that's when the you know that show was going on. Like, if I wear something casual, uh-huh. like, well, let's go to the Prangy Way and get the jogging suit, you know. And that's how it worked. I love those ones. When I was going through boxes the other day, I found, I know I have the Unsolved Mysteries Ghosts DVDs, but I also have that other one I forgot I even had, and it's just like the greatest hits of Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh.
And there's ghost ones on there, but there's other ones too, which probably have some of those on there.
That creeps me out too much.
I love me some of the Robert Stack and the creepy walking around, you know, in the fog in his trench coat, just saying creepy shit. That's a good Friday night right there.
That's what's going to be on your birthday cake this year.
Robert Stack. On my birthday cake. That would be awesome. Can you imagine calling the grocery store? We'd like a special design on the cake. Can we get Robert Stack? Around here, they'd know who he was. They're like, oh, Robert Stack. Okay. Most other parts of the country. Who?
Yeah, you know, that's true.
Like, oh, Unsolved Mystery. Yes, you're like an Unsolved Mysteries Robert Stack cake. Can we get the eyes made out of marzipan, please? Let's get another caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Carly. I'm from Vancouver Island, British Columbia, Canada. I've been listening to your show for probably just over a year now, and I am going to share my first ghost story with you. So this story, I actually had not really told anyone before. It happened 11 years ago, and I finally first shared it with a friend of mine a couple months ago. She is a medium, and she has her own podcast show, and she did a small series on ghost stories, so I shared it with her. She hadn't heard of your show before, so I introduced her to your show, and she really encouraged me to share it with you because it's a good one. So like I was saying, the story started or happened 11 years ago. At that time, my boyfriend and I were not together anymore, but we had been working up in northern BC, and we came back to Vancouver Island both to attend university. So we actually were living on the property that he owned with his dad. It was on the outskirts of the city. It's 7.5 acres, and it's in a really rural area. You have to drive all the way up the road, away from the ocean, up the mountain. You get to a dirt road that follows the power lines, and then you get up to the property. So it's remote. It's out there in the wilderness, and it's a beautiful place. But anyways, just a little bit of background about that part of Vancouver Island. It was a major coal mining area from about the mid-1850s up until, I think it was around the 1860s, the last coal mine closed. And Vancouver Island was a major stop during the Gold Rush, people heading from California up to the Yukon. And a lot of people did end up settling on Vancouver Island who were on that journey. So anyways, the story happened, it was right in the fall when we just headed back to school. It was a weekend. And my boyfriend at the time, him and I decided to have a bonfire on the property. So part of the property is up on a hill that overlooks the ocean. We have a panoramic view and it's just beautiful. And the night was a dry night, which is unusual for the West Coast. We had stars out. It was a bit windy, so it was blowing clouds over the stars and the moon. So, you know, you could see really well, and then at times it would get really dark. So we were out there just enjoying our time, talking about school and our future, what we were going to do. And my boyfriend's best friend called. He said that he had just broken up with his girlfriend. He didn't want to be by himself and asked if he could come over. So he headed over, and then it was the three of us. So we made some food and we're having a great time. And then we started to get low on firewood. So my boyfriend had a stash down at the bottom of the property, at the end of the road. So the three of us decided to get into one of the pickups and head down just to go load up some wood. So my boyfriend was driving the truck. I was sitting in the middle and our friend was on the passenger side. And we started heading down the hill. So you head down the hill and then the road straightens out and it follows the power lines right down till you hit the actual street where the streetlights are, the pavement starts. So we got around the corner, we get onto the straight stretch, and as we're coming down, we can actually see someone in the headlights walking down the road. And this is really unusual, because like I was telling you, this is out in the middle of nowhere. It's not somewhere anybody would go walking at night by themselves. And this person had no flashlight, which was really weird. So my boyfriend started to slow right down, and this person would have heard the truck coming. They didn't turn around to look at us, but what we could see in the headlights was the image of a person who was probably a woman, average height, and they were wearing like a long black cloak with a hood. So he drove slowly up beside the person, and then once we got up beside her, we could tell it was a woman. She didn't look at us, but what I saw, my guts were telling me, this is not real. What I'm seeing is not a real person. You couldn't see through her, but she slightly turned her head. She was completely white. She looked like she had no circulation in her face. Her eyes were really dark. They were just almost like they weren't real, just these dark holes. And she had the dress was also dark. It was black. And it looked like it was probably an outfit from maybe the late 1800s, early 1900s. And she just had this look of sadness. That's the feeling. I mean, I was scared, but the feeling that I was get was this, the feeling that I got, pardon me, was just this feeling of sadness. And my boyfriend wasn't panicking. He was just sort of whispering things under his breath, like, holy, you know what? And our friend sitting in the passenger seat was completely freaking out. He was hyperventilating. He was just like, what is that? Oh my God. So we were just scared. My boyfriend just kept driving down the road. We didn't stop and even ask her if she was okay. It was just weird. And when she kind of looked at us, most people would be like, oh, hey, how are you? Or you know what I mean? Anyways, so we went down the road. We quickly gathered up our wood and we turned to go back up the road. Now, the woman didn't pass us coming down to the streetlights. When she would have passed us if she, that's actually the direction that she was going. Now, we turned around, we went back up the road. We didn't pass her, we didn't see her, she was gone. If she had turned and went the other way, she would have been walking straight into the pitch black, into the wilderness. And maybe she did go that way, I don't know. We went back up to our fire. We didn't really talk about it much. Our friend didn't end up going home that night. He spent the night. But later on, my boyfriend told me that it wasn't the first time he'd seen her. He said he had seen her on the road quite a few years before, and he didn't really go into great detail about it. He never liked talking about those things. Now, when I moved to that property, his father told me that there were definitely things that had happened on the property. He had seen ghosts before. He's like, there are ghost stories from here, and asked me if I wanted to know them. I told him I didn't want to hear any of them. That these things find me, they find me. If I find them, I find them. Anyways, I hope that you enjoyed my story, and I have more stories I'd like to share with you in the future. This is one of my best ones. Anyways, I hope that you guys have a great day. I really enjoy your show. I've been an EPP member for, I think, almost a year now. And what I love most about your show is just listening to all the stories that it just feels like it validates some of the things I've seen and experienced. I don't often like to share them with people also because I'm a healthcare professional, and sometimes I think people think that I might be nuts if I tell them these stories. But I mean, these things are real. When you see them, experience them, you just listen to your gut feeling. And I think that definitely tells you what you're seeing of it is real or not. Anyways, thank you so much for your time. And I love your show. Take care, you guys. Bye.
I always think it's a really great thing when you have an experience and then you have it validated by somebody else who's like, oh, yeah, that's completely mm-hmm. legit, that there's stuff that's happened here, you know, because then you have that weight of feeling kind of like, did I imagine that, taken away.
Yeah, the wonder kind of goes away, the second guessing kind of goes away.
But then comes in the, okay, my boyfriend saw this thing twice, mm-hmm. I've seen it, I would be like, I have to know who it is or what it is or why it's here.
Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that you never get the answers to.
No.
Ever. You end up writing into ghost shows and calling into ghost shows, trying to find the answer, and you never, ever find it. And that's it. That's how that works. So,
unfortunately.
There you go. But thank you for being an EPP, and thank you for sharing the stories. And that's exactly what we do. We just kind of share the stories, and it helps to validate exactly kind of like what she was saying. It's a community where everybody kind of comes together and says, hey, now you're not alone in having these experiences, and let's all wonder the same things forever.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we're never going to get the answers. But hey, you know, it's just that having that community kind of helps make more sense of it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I was just doing a little Craigslisting and just seeing what's around as we're trying to, you know, get some new stuff into our, not new, used stuff, technically. It's Craigslist, you know, into our house here. And looking at some furniture, and I was out of curiosity, I'll just type weird things into Craigslist and see what comes up.
Okay.
Typed in grave.
Okay.
Just seeing maybe someone selling some headstones or something. Just
local?
Yeah, in okay. The local one. Just out of curiosity. Well, they're not selling headstones, but there are plenty of cemetery lots for sale.
Oh, I'm sure.
On I didn't know that people sold that on Craigslist. I'm looking. I won't say the name or rare or anything like that, but two new graves, lot 46.
New graves as opposed to old graves?
As opposed to old graves, yes. Just in case you're not like going on top of, you're going to be sitting on top of my Uncle Louie, but they're still about 6 feet. You know, he's 9, and you can be at the 6 foot marker. And,
ew.
And I'm kidding. I'm making that part up. But it's telling you exactly where it is. Each are $900, decent offers considered. So I wonder if that's like one of those trade offers too, because you see that on Craigslist quite a bit too. It's like, we'll trade, we'll accept farm animals. We'll accept
barnwood. Trade grave for barnwood.
Somebody's trading a goat and a lot of barnwood for their eternal resting place.
Wow.
Only on Craigslist.
Yeah.
So there you go. I just thought that was interesting because I didn't know what I was going to find when I typed that in. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, if you're not an EPP yet and you like the show and you enjoy the idea of it sticking around into eternity, then consider becoming an EPP. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com. That's what you're hearing people say, I'm an EPP. They're getting all of those bonus episodes, more than 100 of them out there now, and all the exclusive video content and so much more. We are a listener-funded show, so without your guys' support, the show does not go on. But luckily, a lot of you do support it. Our costs continue to go up because we have more listeners than ever before. So we continue to need EPPs. So if you are an EPP, thank you. Please continue that support. If you're not, please consider signing up so we can continue doing this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online. Jessica, hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Jessica. I'm a huge fan of your show. I'm an EPP member for almost a year now. And I think you guys are awesome. So, anyways, this is my story. Today is July 8th, I believe. And I was listening to your podcast, one from this week, where a young lady was talking about when her grandmother had passed away and some feelings of guilt that she had. And I could totally identify with it because that's kind of what has prompted me to record this and send this story in. Anyways, I was very close with my grandmother. This is my dad's mom. My parents divorced when I was very young, and my grandma was always included me in the family, just because, you know, her son and my mom were divorced. It didn't change anything. I would visit her every summer growing up for like a month or month and a half at a time. We were very close. I'm the oldest grandchild. She ended up passing away from cancer, and she kind of went downhill really quick, and I wasn't able to be there. She lived out of state. I was able to say goodbye to her over the phone, even though she wasn't able to talk. I was able to say what I wanted to say at the end, but I felt guilt for not communicating with her as much as I should have in the months prior to her passing. I also was not able to go to her funeral about a couple days after she passed away. I was scheduled to leave on a vacation that I had been planning with my mom and my aunt. Been planning for about 6 months. This was my first adult vacation that I ever paid for and was able to go on. And my dad's side of the family was telling me I you know, because I was conflicted, because I felt like I had these obligations that I had with my mom and my aunt, and I had all my money tied up in that, and I didn't have a lot of money to go fly out for the funeral and all this. And everybody was telling me that my grandma would have wanted me to go on the vacation and all this, so I went. I felt like a piece of shit for doing it, but it is what it is. I held a lot of guilt afterwards. So maybe 3 or 4 weeks after she had passed, I was back home. I was at work, and I was upset. I couldn't stay at work anymore. I was crying, and I left and I came home. And my best friend and roommate, he was home, and I came in. I told him what was up, and you know, he'd been very supportive since my grandma had passed away, and he knew I was going through some tough times. And I told him that I was going to go in my bedroom, lay down, wanted to take a little bit of a nap just so I can get some, I don't know, peace of mind for a little bit while I was asleep, so I wasn't thinking about it. And so the time of day was like late afternoon, early evening. So the sun was going down. It wasn't completely dark, but it wasn't exactly like sunlight shining into the bedroom. So I lay down in the bed. I was facing, I closed my bedroom door behind me. I lay down in bed. I was facing the side of my bedroom that had a door that went into the bathroom. And this bathroom also on the other side had another door that went into the hallway. So there was two ways to get in. And I'm kind of drifting off to sleep. And like kind of in between. I'm not fully asleep, but I'm not fully awake. And I felt like somebody had walked into the room. Like there was a presence there. Like I didn't open my eyes and see it at first. I could just hear like the frequency in the room kind of change. And which did prompt me to open my eyes. And I opened my eyes and I saw someone standing in the bathroom door, like in the door frame. There was a figure standing there. And of course I assumed it was my roommate coming to check on me, but this next part happened so fast. It was like I opened my eyes, I saw a figure in the doorway. This figure reached out their arm in front of them and just comes walking quickly towards me and touches my shoulder in a comforting way. But I didn't take it that way right off the bat. I thought it was my roommate. I thought it was my roommate, and I was annoyed that it was my roommate because I was just drifting off to sleep, and he already knew how upset I was. And I was like pissed off that he was like bothering me. You know what I mean? So I thought he'd come in through the other side of the bathroom, through the hallway, came through the bathroom, and then came into the bedroom that way. And I felt my shoulder being touched, and I don't like being woken up, and my automatic reaction was, why would you do that? Meaning, like, why would you come in here and disrupt me when you know I'm upset and I just want to go to sleep, and now you're waking me up and right when I'm trying to fall asleep and kind of escape the emotional pain that I was feeling. And so, like I said, this is all, it happened in like a fraction of a second. And as soon as I felt my shoulder being touched, it's like this figure, still with their arm outstretched in front of them, retreated back. But it wasn't like they turned around and walked into the, you know, into the bathroom and left. It was like they were moving backwards, like it rewinds. And then they just disappeared into the doorway. And I closed my eyes, and the weird thing is, as I'm laying there, the area that I was touched, I could, on my shoulder, it was like tingling. Like I could point that exact spot out to this day. Even when I fell asleep right after that, and even when I woke up, I could still feel the exact spot where I had been touched. And so anyways, I wake up maybe an hour or so later. I get up, I go into the living room, which is where my roommate had been when I, you know, went to sleep or went in there to take a nap. And he's sitting in the same exact spot in the living room on the chair, just like he had never moved. And I was annoyed, and I was like, what the hell? I was like, why did you do that? I was like, why would you come in there and wake me up? And why would you come to the bathroom and kind of like sneak up on me? Why wouldn't you just walk through the bedroom door? And he's like, what are you talking about? I was like, what do you mean? What am I talking about? I was like, you came in. He's like, no, I didn't. He's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. He's like, I literally have not moved from this spot since you walked in there. He's like, I have not gotten up for anything. Very adamant about it. And so that started to make me think that it was my, because it was a comforting, touch on my shoulder. And I kind of felt like it was my grandma coming to say, you know, it's okay. You've been crying for 3 or 4 weeks now. It's okay. I don't even know if it was 3 or 4 weeks now, to be honest. It's been a while, but I feel like it was her trying to comfort me, because I had just been crying nonstop for a while, and I felt this so much guilt. And that the fact that I could feel the tingle where I was touched on my shoulder for so long afterwards, I really do feel that it was her. So I think that at that point is when I started to feel less guilty about, missing the funeral and not communicating with her for a few weeks before she passed away and all that. On a side note, there was another encounter I had with her. I have dreamt about her. I haven't dreamt about her in a while. But I did have a very, very vivid dream that I do feel like was a visitation versus just, me having a dream about her. In this dream, we were at the house that I always went to visit when I was growing up. It was a house that my grandfather, who was also had passed a long time ago when I was a child, So whenever I think about my grandparents, my dad's parents, I think about this house because that's all my memories are at. And I was at this house. My grandma was there. And I don't remember what the discussion was or what we even talked about, but she, this is the last vivid dream I had about her. She hugged me and I felt the hug. I am telling you, I felt it. And then she brought with her her mother, which is my great grandmother who had passed a while ago too. And I hugged her too. And it was so real. And I felt like they were just giving me comfort. And that's the last dream that I've really had about her, and that's been several years now. So I feel less guilty about a lot of things, and I think that was her way of letting me know it was okay. So anyway, that's my story. Thank you for listening, and keep up the good work. I love the show. Bye.
I think you're exactly right that was meant to ease some of that pain that you were feeling at that time and a lot of the guilt. And I don't think that your grandmother would have wanted you to feel that guilty for that long. And that's probably the only way that message could have been conveyed.
I agree. I think, you know, the way that it also stuck around too, it wasn't just a quick, hey, did this really happen? You know,
mm-hmm.
moment, the fact that there was that tingling, as she described it, and it just continued on and on. You know, for whatever that was, however that was, whyever that was, I think it was just part of the, you know, continued reassurance or something. There was a reason for it.
Yeah.
To let you know that this was not just some sort of hallucination or you know, moment where you're going to second guess yourself.
So there you go. Tingling on your back in your dream can either mean your grandmother's there to comfort you or a skeleton man is peeling your skin.
It's one of the two.
Yep.
And as long as you're cool with either, you're all good. There you go. That wraps up our show for today. It's Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please subscribe. It'd be an EPP on our website, ghostpodcast.com. Sign up. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all of our bonus material, more than 100 EPP bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and so much more. That's what keeps this thing on the air and also keeps dead relatives and skeletons from peeling the skin off of your back.
Always a good thing.
That's the only thing that can prevent it is by becoming an EPP. It's true. That's how that works now.
Okay. I'm glad you know that.
No skin peeling guarantee. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.